The Sri Ramana Gita of B.V. Narasimha Swami, Part 4, continued from the November-December issue. While B.V. Narasimha Swami was residing at the ashram, around the year 1930, he appears to have taken up the project of recasting Ganapati Muni's Sri Ramana Gita in its original conversational form. For a full introduction to this recently discovered manuscript, see the July-August 2009 Maharishi newsletter. In the present issue, we take up Chapter 5 titled, What is the Hridaya, Heart or Center? In Bivian's typed manuscript, the Maharishi makes English corrections and fills in the required Sanskrit text, quoting from scriptures wherein it is mentioned that Brahman is described as Hridaya. In fact, throughout this chapter, he writes in his beautiful script the word Hridayam, heart, no less than 19 times. In the second verse of the Arunachala Pancharatnam, the Maharishi declares, Thou art the inner self, who dancest in the heart as I. Heart is thy name, O Lord. In this chapter, he describes how this heart is to be understood and experienced. Chapter 5. What is the Hridaya, heart or center? On the 9th of August 1917, Sri Ramana Maharishi sat up at night in the Skandashramam. Kavikanta and other bhaktas had gathered at his feet. For the benefit of all, Kavikanta requested the Maharishi to explain fully the heart, Hridayam, mentioned in his poem composed in 1915. See September, October 2009 newsletter. Maharishi thus answered, Hridayam, that is the heart or center, is that from which all thoughts spring. A description of it is given in various passages of the Vedas. Padmakosha Pratikasagam Hridayam Chapya Domukam. Adho Nishta Vitasyante Nabhya Mupari Tishtati. Narayanopanishad 13.2. The above comparison of the heart to the plant and bud or lotus bud and various other physical descriptions are given to assist the yogi's practice of meditation. Footnote 1. The Upanishad compares it also to the leaf of the Ashwatha tree, Ficus religiosa. How do we proceed to trace all thoughts to the source, you may ask? Well, let us discover if all thoughts could in the first place be traced to some one thought as the base of operations, and let us then go deeper and find the source of the basic thought. Is there then any such basic or fundamental thought underlying all other thoughts? Do you not see that the thought or idea I, the idea of personality, is such a root thought? For us, Maharishi explained later, whenever any thought arises, these questions arise and should be raised by the aspirant aiming at realization. Does this thought exist independently of any person thinking, or does it exist only as the thought of a person? And if the latter is the case, to whom does it arise? The answer is, this thought arises only as a person's thought, and this thought arises in me. So, the I idea may be regarded as a stem from which other thoughts branch forth. Next, let us see the root source of this stem. But how? Dive deep in ecstatic concentration within yourself. That is, within the I thought, and perceive its source. There is nothing there to perceive in or through the senses. You have no guidance from sensation and rationalization for this search. But if you have the right intuition, the center, Hridayam, is immediately felt, and the above or former I, which inquired, disappears into this, the center. Thus, Hridayam, or the heart center, is the source of the I thought and of everything else. The term Hridayam, heart, is however persistently identified by some who practice yoga with one of their six centers, chakram, that is, their fourth center called the Anahata Chakram, situated in the chest. Footnote 2, corresponding perhaps to nerve ganglia running parallel to the spinal cord. These yogis admit that Hridayam denotes the source or abiding place of personality. Well, then, if these yogis wish to trace or promote the development of their personality or soul from its source or abiding place to its highest reach, as they profess to do, they should start its course from Anahata Chakram, whereas they invariably start their course from Muladharam, which they style their first chakra. Hence, one is perhaps well advised to confine the term, that is, the center, to the universal center or Brahman. Brahman is often indicated in scripture as I am Hrit, two words which make up Hridayam when conjoined. Footnote 3. Scriptural passages in which Brahman is styled Hridayam. I am Hridi Sthitas Saksha Sarvesha Maviseshataha Tenaiva Hridayam Prokta Savayesha Atma Hridi Tase Tadeva Niruktam. In Brahma Gita Sutta Samhita, this, the self, exists clearly in the hearts of all, without exception. By that self alone, this is the center, is declared. It, the liberator, from the bonds of worldly illusion, itself based on Savayesha Atma Hridi Tasye Tadeva Niruktam Hridhyamiti Tasmat Tasmat Dadayam. Verily, that self is abides in the heart. Of it, the etymological explanation is this: he who knows this goes day by day into the heavenly world. Chandyoga Upanishad. Chandak Upanishad 8:3:3. Even the practicing yogi does not identify the hridayam, heart, or anahat with the organ forming the center of blood circulation with its auricles and ventricles. And in the above stanza, Vaid, chapter 2, the heart, hridayam, is not used in a physiological sense, but rather as a metaphor and refers to the center of consciousness. There is no harm, however, in taking hridayam to indicate an actual special region, as is done in various parts of the scripture. There, hridayam is said to be on the right side of the chest, not on the left, where the blood propeller is situated. From it radiates the sushumna nadi, or nerve, up which the current of consciousness or light goes to Sahasrara, the thousand-petaled, evidently referring to the brain with its numberless cells. From that Sahasrara, the light of consciousness passes again, evidently through the nerves, to all parts of the body, and thereby the outside world is experienced by one. But if the experiencer views the experienced object as something distinct from himself, that is, from the self, then he is caught up in the whirl of samsara, the wheel of metempsychosis, or chain of births and deaths. The sahasrara, that is, brain of the Atmanishta, that is, self-realizer, is pure light or enlightenment. If any flitting or passing desires approach it, they perish therein immediately. They have no soil to flourish upon there. The sankalpas, or seeds of desire, that occur in the Atmanishta, staying in pure light or Suddha Sattva, or referred to in the Upanishads as getting parched or fried. Such a seed, Brishta Bijam, does not give birth to fresh vasanas, tendencies, or karma action as they consume themselves, nor leave a rack behind. Footnote 4. Mukti Gopanishad 2, 61, 62. A. Malina Janma Hetusya Chuddha Janma Vinasini. Tivasana, if impure, results in fresh births. If pure, results in destruction of, that is, release from rebirth. B. Punarjanmam kuram tektva stitim sambushta bijavat. As in the case of fried seeds, sprouting into fresh birds is avoided. This expression is frequently found in other Upanishads, in Vasishta and the works of Sri Shankaracharya, but this reference will suffice. With the pure light mentioned, outside objects, Vishayaha, or sensed or experienced, and their impress received. But if these impressions are colored or swallowed up in the prevailing non-differentiation of the perfected yogi, self-realized one. His yoga or self-realization is not marred thereby. Even when receiving outside impressions, the yogi maintains his consciousness of the unity of existence, and it is this state of central conscious unity with a, so to speak, peripheral experience of objects, the central light swallowing up the peripheral rays, that is called sahajasthiti. But when the yogi completely shuts out cognizance of outside objects, his state is described as nirvikalpa samadhi, that is, pure concentration, or the absolute consciousness without attributes or characteristics. What are these objects which constitute the external universe? The entire universe or macrocosm is found in the man, the microcosm. The entire man is found in the heart or ultimate center, ego. The entire universe is found within that center, the heart, hridayam. Again, looked at in another way, the external world does not exist without the mind perceiving it. That is, unless a mind perceives and notes the existence of the worlds, how is that existence to be posited? And the mind does not exist without the center, hridayam. Ergo, the entire world of experience ends at the center. The respective positions of the heart, the center, and the mind may be illustrated by an analogy. What the sun is to the solar system, the origin of all, the supporter of all, and that which lights up all, that the center, that is the heart, or that which has intuition, is to man. What the moon is in the external universe, casting a delectable but uncertain light, incapable of creating or sustaining real life or throwing clear light on all objects, that the mind is when it works in or with the brain, sahasrara. Just as the moon borrows its light from the sun, so does the mind derive its power of knowing from the center or heart. It is when man has no intuition or illumination from that center or heart that he sees the mind as the only basis of his conscious activity. Just as one may have at night, that is, when there is no sun, to be content to work by moonlight. At such a time, the man is ignorant, pamara, as he does not see the source of all light, that is, consciousness, namely, the real, the Atman, but sees objects with the help of the mind alone, and sees them as different from himself. Hence, he wanders as in maze. The jnani, on the other hand, stationed in the center, sees within it the mind, no doubt, but that mind is of as little significance to him as the moon when seen in daylight. The term prajna has for its superficial denotation vakyartha, the mind, but it is in reality, that is, in its essential content, lakshyartha, the center, hridayam, the heart. Brahman is not but that. To those who perceive with the help of the mind only, the difference of seer and seen exists, but to those at the center, they are one and the same. Now, as for the advice given in the second half of the stanza, that is chapter 2, that one should enter into the self in the heart, there are, apart from spiritual enlightenment, other instances of the mind disappearing into the center by reason of deep sleep, excessive emotions of joy, sorrow, terror, rage, catalepsy, possession, or coma. These also strike the mind and drive it into its source, However, in these states, there is no illumination or even awareness of one's individuality, whereas in the condition of samadhi, the self-realization achieved by the yogi, one has such awareness and illumination. That is the difference between samadhi and the above-mentioned states. Continued in the March-April issue.